guests this week. And of course, Michael Knopf and Jess Lewis for taking me on such a fun tour of the new French Woods Meadow. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Thanks for being here with me. Up next, it's Travel with Triggs on Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, NPR. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors. Celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail. Morgan-outdoors.com.
I'm Mimi Bradley, Radio Catskills Development Manager, reminding you that a great way to keep public radio here in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania is by becoming a Sound Supporter. Sound Supporters give small amounts, $20, $30, $50 a month or more, that add up to a big help. Plus, Sound Supporters get special thank yous, like drawings for tickets to events in our community throughout the year. Become a Sound Supporter. Go to wjffradio.org.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, our guest is New Zealand's former Prime Minister, Dame Jacinda Ardern. She was the youngest female head of government when she took office in 2017, and she'll reflect on that turbulent time. Her new book, A Different Kind of Power, looks back on her Mormon childhood and a political career focused on empathetic leadership. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Governors from 23 blue states wrote to congressional leaders this week, urging them not to approve President Trump's domestic agenda package. Democrats warned Trump's so-called big, beautiful bill of tax breaks and program cuts will have detrimental effects nationwide. The package is being hashed out among Republicans who control the House and the Senate. Trump wants it approved by July 4th. New York Governor Kathy Hochul spoke on North Country Public Radio Friday.
We receive about $93 billion from the federal government from all kinds of programs, whether it's law enforcement safety grants, whether it's child care funding and nutrition programs, education, health care. It touches every aspect of our lives. And when they cut this, and they're proposing to cut, for example, $13.5 billion from money we rely on to provide health care to our residents, when that disappears, I have to be honest with everyone. If this is not stopped dead in its tracks, and again, there's still an opportunity if our Republican representatives will stand up for us, we will never be able to make that up.
In the letter, the governors from across the U.S. say the GOP reconciliation bill threatens to shift up to 25% of the food benefit costs onto states. Numerous sources all point to the possibility that federal funding for the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP, will be reduced if the bill's passed. In 2024, SNAP provided critical food benefits for 42 million Americans, including 3 million New Yorkers, according to the governor's office. This is Radio Catskill.
It's Saturday, 10:30 on Radio Catskill. This is Greg. My friends are always up for a conversation about the things we should be talking about together to cut through the noise and get to the truth, to inspire and make our little world a bigger place. Today, we're traveling all the way from Narrowsburg to Cochecton, New York, to talk about kindness, giving back, and growing older together. It's almost time to meet Thomas Cambridge on Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Our guest today is Thomas Cambridge, the executive director of Growing Older Together, an organization that provides services for seniors in rural communities in a three-county area. They are getting ready for a huge fundraiser to support their wonderful organization, and we're here to learn more about the whole thing. Good morning, Thomas. How are you?
Greg, good morning. I'm well. How are you? It's good to be here.
Good. Tell me about this fundraiser that you've got going. It's a switch up from what you've done in the past. It's a brand new event, right?
It is, in the sense that we'll be trying some new things. We've had summer fundraisers in the past. And this year, yeah, we're shaking it up a little bit. We're calling it our GOT Family Pig Roast on the Delaware River. And that pretty much sums up what it will be. We're going to have not only a roasted pig, we'll have all kinds of side dishes, including things for our vegetarian guests. The purpose is to raise funds for Growing Older Together so that we can advance our mission in Wayne County and Sullivan County, which is to serve seniors 60 years up so they can age in place and stay in their home. We're not just going to have food. We'll also have games. We'll have entertainment. It's right on the banks of the Delaware River, so there'll be river access, and there's a wonderful saltwater pool there, too. We're encouraging an intergenerational event. We want people of all ages to come and get together and have a great time on Saturday, July 12th, from 2 to 6 p.m.
And how can people get tickets?
You can get tickets online in advance by going to myrivertickets.com. You can also flag down one of our board members if you know who they are. All of them have paper tickets. You can also call our hotline and speak to one of our call managers. That number is 570-630-0509. And whoever answers the phone can put you in touch with somebody who can get a ticket to you. The tickets are $30. Children 10 and under are completely free.
Wow, that is a heck of a deal. And where's it going to be?
It's in Milanville, Pennsylvania. It's about a mile south of where the Skinner's Falls Bridge used to be. The exact address is 860 River Road, Milanville, Pennsylvania.
And do you need volunteers for the event, or are you all staffed up?
We can always use extra help. We are a volunteer organization, and our volunteers primarily support the seniors that we serve, but they are so dedicated and so wonderful that many of them have agreed to come and support us during the event. But if somebody really has a burning desire to help, they can also call that number that I just gave to you and offer themselves up. We would be happy to take whatever services they want to offer us.
And I suppose you're always up for cash donations or reoccurring donations as well.
Absolutely. If anyone who's interested in doing that outside of the event can do it at any time through our website. And that address is www.growingoldertogether.org. We have a button right there on the homepage that says Donate to Growing Older Together, and it can take someone's donation at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and folks can even set up a recurring donation. If they'd care to do that, we would love to take that option too.
I've got to say, I love a reoccurring donation. It's a way to keep the amount manageable throughout the year, and you only have to think about it once. I donate to WJFF that way as a sound supporter.
So do I. And you're right. It makes it very easy. And the amount is also manageable. You can put in whatever you want. And then it's basically set it and forget it. And you know that your contribution will happen on a regular basis. And whoever is receiving that contribution will benefit. It makes it easy for everyone.
Well, now let's talk about your role in the organization. How long have you been the executive director of GOT?
Just over 3 years. I started in May of 2022. I'm the first executive director. The organization is, next year will be the 10-year anniversary in operation. And after 6 years of doing quite a wonderful job, the organization had reached a point where they felt they needed some additional leadership. And through a series of wonderful events, I got the opportunity.
When we're talking about aging, it's for those who are aging, I myself am not, but I have noticed with other people who are that there are phases in life. Your career changes, your professional goals, the things you're hoping to accomplish. And you have taken on this role after a very different career, correct?
That is correct. I worked, I guess you could say, on Wall Street. I wasn't really on Wall Street, but I was in the financial sector and information technology for about 25 years in New York City. And I worked for a big Swiss corporation for most of that time. And it was about leadership and development and communications and software development. And while Growing Older Together is certainly different, I have found that a lot of those skills that I had have transferred very nicely in terms of writing grants, writing communications, copy, fundraising, and that sort of thing. So it's been very helpful. And I also, after I left the corporate environment, I became an actor, and I have found that skills performing and being in front of an audience also serves well when it comes time to evangelize the organization and go out and tell people about what we do and hopefully get some interest.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up, because I assume anyone who is considering volunteering, you know, there are things that are always needed, such as transportation to appointments or help with chores around the house. But I hope that people considering volunteering won't underestimate the fact that all of their skills may come into play or be of asset to the organization.
I would agree with that. I think people find out once they become volunteers, they may actually possess more skills than they realize when our members call up and request something in particular. Now, our services are relatively standard. We do provide the private transportation, as you had mentioned. We do a lot of household chores. These are basically things that our members used to be able to do and can't or shouldn't because it might not be safe anymore. And that can take the form of getting on a ladder and changing a light bulb or some smoke detector batteries, or cleaning out a closet or a garage, lifting heavy things, stuff that people who are still physically capable can take over and do for our members. But we also do a lot of social visits. You know, living in the rural area that we do, many of our members live at the end of a lane and don't drive anymore, and they look forward to the visits of our volunteers just to catch up, have a cup of tea, read a book together. Sometimes it's just to listen, and that is a skill, you know, listening, really. That skill is something that is extremely valuable. I don't want to say it's becoming a lost art, but our volunteers have found that that can be a really useful skill when it comes to talking with some of our members and just, you know, like I said, just catching up with them. And also technology troubleshooting. That can be a challenge for anybody, regardless of your age, with all of the technology and gadgets we've got. But it can be particularly challenging for folks of a certain age. I'm old enough to be a member of Growing Older Together, and I have found that even with my technology background, there are things which pose problems for me to time to time.
It's interesting to me because it is almost the essence of paying it forward, right? In that, I would assume in a rural community such as our own, eventually those that are able to stay here will have similar needs. And it certainly seems as though we are not going to be able to rely on social services or the government as much as we have in the past. So I think for me, when I think about volunteering for the organization, you better do it now so it's there when you need it.
I will admit that when I took this job, it's as you use the word paying it forward, I had a little bit of self-serving motivation that I hoped that I'm sowing the seeds for my own future, that when the day comes and I would probably need these services, that there'll be an organization or a person there to help me out. And Growing Older Together has established a strong foothold in our communities. I don't see it going anywhere. We've grown significantly in the past 3 years, both in terms of the people we serve and in terms of the volunteers who provide those services. So we are moving in the right direction. I think just the demographic statistics from our census has proved that we have more people who are living older. Therefore, the need is going to continue to grow, and we need organizations like Growing Older Together and our area agencies on aging to facilitate and provide those services. And I'm certainly hoping that none of those things are going to go away. I certainly feel strongly about GOT that we're here to stay.
And we hope you're here to stay. We'll be right back on Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs.
In this country, more than 2 local newspapers are closing down each week. This leaves most counties with little or no access to local news and information, and even more are at risk of losing their last local news source. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to this station.
Support the news and information you rely on. Donate now at WJFFradio.org.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, veteran Fox News anchor Bret Baier on his relationship with President Trump. Does President Trump call you on the phone a lot?
He calls me.
And yeah. You call him?
I have called him. He wants to be front and center in every story, and he is front and center in every story.
That's Bret Baier next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
Forget your foes, fears, and phobias, because on this week's Selected Shorts, we laugh in the face of danger with Jane Curtin, Tony Hale, David Sedaris, and others. I'm Meg Wolitzer. Join me.
Sunday night at 7 on Radio Catskill.
Every time I encounter a person or a place or an idea or a value that's different than me, I become more whole. I become more multidimensional.
Gail Straub, author of Home Inside the Globe, Embracing Our Human Family, The Janice Adams Show, this morning at 11, here on Radio Catskill.
Travels with trees.
And we are back, 10:30, last Saturday of the month on Radio Catskill. We are talking with Thomas Cambridge, the executive director of Growing Older Together. Now, Thomas, please define your service area.
We cover all of Wayne County. That's where we were founded, in Beech Lake, Pennsylvania. So, we cover all of Wayne County, Western Sullivan County, that goes to about Bethel. We are slowly marching towards Monticello, but we're not there yet. We require volunteers in a certain geographic area before we can begin to provide services. So our growth happens in an organic fashion. And we also serve the top part, the northern part of Pike County. And we're looking to grow in that area as well.
Talk about the specific challenges faced by rural communities.
So we are a member of a much larger organization that serves all of the United States. It's called the Village to Village Network, and we are one of 300 or so villages in the United States. Most of them are based in metropolitan areas, and we are one of the few that is considered a rural village. So the challenges that we experience, I believe our members are geographically dispersed, there's a lot more driving. So that's the number one service that we offer. I mean, we don't prioritize them, but it's the number one requested service. And we will take our members anywhere they need to go. It's primarily to doctor's appointments, but also to a lawyer's appointment, to go visit their grandchildren, to pick up groceries, whatever it might be. So a lot of mileage gets covered by our volunteers. Now, we offer reimbursement for mileage and gasoline to our volunteers, but wouldn't you know, none of them request it. That's how dedicated they are. But beyond that, I would say then that the other big challenge is isolation. It's widespread in rural areas. I don't want to say that it's rampant, but it's something that is key to rural villages like ours. Many of our members, as I mentioned earlier, live at the end of a road and don't drive anymore. So they really are physically isolated from the world. And, you know, there's solitude, which can be a wonderful thing, but it's a fine line between that and isolation, where it's a situation that a person does not want to be in. They're craving that social connection. One of the other things we do, we partner with two organizations in the area. One is called Tustin Social that works out of Narrowsburg, New York. And their primary mission is to provide programming for seniors and for youth. And it has been a wonderful success story. We have delivered these twice monthly forums. They're called the Sage Session. And we work with Tustin Social to offer programs that cover entertainment, education, wildlife, nature, comedy, music, whatever it might be. It also, we offer a free lunch for that. And we are now going to partner with Cooperage Project in Honesdale to deliver the same sort of thing in the off weeks from the Sage Session. And they're going to be called the Senior Gatherings. They'll be slightly different from the Sage Sessions, but this gives our seniors an opportunity to have something to look forward to and to get out. And if they are not capable of getting themselves there, we have volunteers that can take them there.
Let's talk now about some of the tasks that people are called upon to do when they're volunteering, tasks they would do for a member around the house.
We just had a situation where one of our members got a new refrigerator, and the old one had expired, and it was a bit of an urgent situation because it's the heat of the summer right now. So the old refrigerator had to be emptied, the new one put in its place, and then we didn't haul off the old refrigerator, but we did bag up all the food and so that it could be taken away. We also do on the technology front, a lot of our seniors struggle with things like credit cards expiring on your Amazon account. You know, everybody has a credit card on file. Well, it can expire, and a lot of times people don't know how to do that update. So something that is relatively simple for a person who's more versed with technology, a younger person, although not necessarily, that can be a simple fix, which really makes a huge difference so that people who live in rural areas can get deliveries again, whether it's Amazon or Chewy or whatever. We also, as I'd mentioned, we do things that are not necessarily safe for our members anymore. You know, lifting heavy things, getting up on ladders, moving things around in a garage, clearing things up. A lot of times, folks who get to be a certain age collect things over the years. It's bound to happen, you know, whether you're a heavy collector or even a light collector. Sometimes there gets to be too much stuff, and our volunteers can go in and help make sense of that, get rid of what's no longer needed, help our members to decide what do they want to keep, what do they want to get rid of, and just provide more space.
When I think about growing older together and try to visualize who I think of in those types of situations, I remember our wonderful family friend, Gladys Nelson, who was single, never married, worked at my grandpa's bakery. And eventually my family started helping Gladys do things around the house. And it was so rewarding. But I'm just one person who thinks about these things. You're the executive director of the organization. When you think about one of the people who motivates you or gave you this passion, who do you think of?
I think of my grandparents. I was very fortunate to have three of my four grandparents live well into my 30s. So I got to know them not only as a child, but as a young adult. And they all lived far away from me in Iowa. I grew up in Texas, but I always looked forward to our summer visits back. And I just had a natural affinity, not for them only, but for people of that generation. I don't know what it is, Greg. I was just hardwired to appreciate people of a certain age. And I think a lot of it has to do with just respecting where they came from, how different generations grew up, what was meaningful to them as young people, what they've carried through their lives, the stories that they have to tell, and to see how their lives change in terms of what they require as they get older, and to see that more is required, and to have compassion for people as they age, just to appreciate where they came from and where they are now. And again, as we mentioned, to hope that when the day comes, somebody will have paid attention and will do the same things that growing older together is doing now for me and people like me when I get to be that age.
Well, you know, there's so much tension in the world right now, and it seems to me that the only way we are going to be able to change that is with small steps. be more compassionate, be more kind, volunteer. And I hope that people can take some of the energy they're putting into the frustration about that tension and create action by considering volunteering for Growing Older Together. I remember when I lived in Minneapolis, used to drive down one of the major roads, and there was this building that had a mural that said, "Be kind to the aged. You too are getting older each and every day." And that's always stayed with me. I mean, that was 40 years ago I used to drive past that sign, and it's still a fresh memory.
Isn't that interesting how that happens? I've had the same type of experience, and I completely agree with you on with the frustration that's in the world, which frankly, I think has always been there. I hear the stories that my grandparents used to tell me. They lived through two world wars, the Great Depression, and the last pandemic. And I never heard them speak as victims. They just described the challenges and the hardships of living through situations like that. So I'm grateful that they told me those stories. So I realized that while it seems whatever's going on right now seems really, intense and desperate, and it may be, certainly for some people, that there's always been that type of thing happening in the world. And what can we do? We can really contribute at a local level. That's where we can make a difference. And Growing Older Together is not the only place that one can do that, but it certainly is an option.
And speaking of options, one more time, share the details of your upcoming fundraiser that helps raise money to make all of these wonderful things happen.
Okay. Yeah, we're calling it the GOT Family Pig Roast. It's happening on July 12th. The rain date is the following Sunday, July 13th. It'll happen from 2 to 6 p.m. The address is 860 River Road. That's in Milanville, Pennsylvania, just about a mile south of where the Skinner's Falls Bridge used to be. The tickets are $30 per person. Children 10 and under are free. And you can get advance tickets at myrivertickets.com. We'll also have tickets for sale there at the event.
There is entertainment. There is wonderful food. There is a swimming pool. There is the river. And there is the opportunity to help a lot of deserving folks. Anything else you'd like to say as we start wrapping up, Thomas?
I think we covered it, Greg. I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about Growing Older Together. And I hope that everyone who's listening will come out and join us. It's going to be a beautiful afternoon.
Well, speaking of beautiful things, Donna Fellenberg and Catskill Character will be back next week. Until then, thanks for joining Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Now what's he gonna talk about? Where we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Farm Arts Collective presents their annual Free Family Farm Day on Saturday, June 28th from 10 to 1. An annual event for families on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, PA. This year, the day of activity will include harvesting vegetables and flowers from the fields, touch a tractor, face painting, eco art, and much more. Family Farm Day, June 28th. More information at farmartscollective.org. Paid for by Farm Arts Collective.
America is deeply polarized. Families and communities are at odds over politics. But there are also many Americans who are trying to bridge divides.
This conflict, there's no one's going to win. I think the only way through is together.
Tune in to Americans Reconnect, talking across the political divide. I'm Nina Moyney from APM.
Join us Friday at 6 for Americans Reconnect, right here on Radio Catskill.
On last week's Wait Wait, Jeff Hiller doubted he would buy the new Trump phone.
I fell for the steaks. I fell for the college. I fell for the ties. Fool me once, then you can do it 3 more times. But that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm Peter Sagal. You can trust that you will enjoy this week's show with special guest Anna Kendrick. That's this week's News Quiz from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
RFK Jr. is reshaping the CDC in accordance with his own singular views and priorities.
He doesn't believe in the germ theory. He doesn't believe that the treatment or prevention of germs will be life-saving.
He's talking about taking red dye out of Skittles and destroying vaccine programs. That's not making us healthy.
Meet Kennedy's new anti-vax vaccine advisory panel on this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill. WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.